Hello, everyone, and welcome to Attack of Opportunity. Tonight, a special format. This interview is going to be laid out more like a magazine interview, where I will tell you the questions that we had asked Tyler from the Min-Max podcast, and it has taken well over a year for us to get our hands on this fine gentleman. These are the responses that Tyler had to our questions, and I will be reinserting what we asked him as we go along. First of all, we were very excited, obviously, to have him, and it had been such a long time in getting our hands on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we finally got in touch with each other. It has been a year of cancellations, if it would be, back and forth. It's been a busy, busy year. But I'm glad I got to be here. Thanks for having me on.
The very first question, of course, we asked him is, wow, how did he know that he was first a geek, a nerd, one of us? Was there a defining moment for him, a gateway drug, a video game, something?
It was a Game Boy Color and Pokemon Red. I was a small child, and I loved creating teams that worked well together with numbers like strength and agility and, you know, strength, speed, what have you. It grew from there. I got into Dungeons and Dragons 3.5 almost right as it came out. And I think I was in the fourth or fifth grade at the time. It was 2001, roughly. But yeah. And ever since then, I've actually been the forever GM for whatever group I'm playing with. And yeah, it's been a part of my life for so long. I don't know what I'd do without it at this point.
Reminded of my own long career as a DM, I instantly had to ask him his age.
Well, I'm 33 this year, so you know, we're talking about almost 20 years now. Yeah, about 20 years. And there was the required college break because I thought I'd try social life along with my schoolwork, as opposed to my schoolwork and tabletop games. That lasted for about 3 years. And then I dove right back into it. So, yeah.
Setting off on one of my usual tangents and having a good time discussing a couple things of ages past with tabletop, Tyler had this to say.
You know, I'll tell you this much. It's amazing how much, seen in the last 10 years, how much faster it's grown than a good chunk of its history. Just tabletop role-playing in general. I know D&D 5th edition has a lot to do with that. And I know that your big streamers like Critical Role or, you know, whoever people are watching these days on YouTube, that really helps a lot.
I asked him if he knew a major influencer like the Glass Cannon.
Yep, Glass Cannon's the Pathfinder people, right? Right. And tons of credit to those guys. I love listening to them. I wouldn't say they necessarily got us started, as you might hear some people say. We actually toyed around with our first podcasting thoughts back in 2015, but never jumped on the opportunity, specifically because at the time we were in a concrete unfinished basement with two condenser mics on either end of the table and then a carpet underneath, and it sounded god awful. And my editor, David, fantastic sound guy, right? He can do a lot with not much. And he took a look at it and came back to me. There's no way we can do this. There's just no way. And then kind of the advent of virtual tabletops, we play in Fantasy Grounds specifically, and things like Zoom, like we're having this interview right now, made it so that we could do it in our own homes, which are much more sound controlled, which we can split into individual tracks. Now, mind, this didn't happen until roughly 2018. And then came the second hurdle that we had to get over, which was we had six dudes plus me. So we had seven people playing, and that was just too many for us. It's way too many. There's too much noise. People can't get to know the individual players when there's seven and the GM. It's hard, right? So we had a moment where it was right before second edition was set to release, and we had three of our seven drop over the last couple of months leading up to that. So the four of us kind of looked at each other, the five of us did, me and my four players, and we said, let's do it. Now's the time, right? Let's be one of the first second edition podcasts out there. We released our first episode the day after second edition released. It was a Saturday in August of 2019. And we've been doing it every week since. And I gotta say, I've been playing tabletop games for a long time. I've dipped my toes in a lot of different systems over the years. You know, Shadowrun, going back to AD&D for fun, Dungeon World. I haven't had a chance to play Delta Green, but Call of Cthulhu. Second edition is probably my favorite system for a lot of different reasons. But I think flow is what helps me as a GM. It's the game master's game, if I were to call it anything. It allows me to make things very easily flowing through combat and other situations, RP situations, exploration activities, and really make it good radio, I guess you could say. That's something I say a lot around the table.
A bit of banter exchanged between us as we reminisced a bit more, which eventually led to the question asking Tyler, what was the inspiration to actually start an online show, podcast, or live stream to Twitch, or to upload to YouTube, you know, and which of those came first?
Well, it was interesting because it was something like I mentioned, we discussed back in 2015. And when we started playing online, it was because I had actually moved away from the primary town that me and my players had, you know, played in primarily. And we're a weekly kind of group. We get together every Friday like clockwork. This is our social, you know, interaction outside of work and family, what have you. And we all kind of looked at each other one day, and it was after we had our party cut from 7 down to 4 that we said, is now the time? Yeah, now's the time. And the interesting thing about our table is that I didn't like gather people specifically for it. These are the people I've been playing with at this point now for roughly 7, 8, going on 9 years here. And we just click so well that we thought people might want to listen. And it turned out that some people do. Some people do.
At this point, I assured him lots do.
Well, thanks. That's how you get. That's how you go from 1 to 6 in not so short a time, right? Well, what it was, it was a handful of things I really liked at the time. What I saw of the Pathfinder or the Paizoverse podcasting community, I had, you know, joined in and started listening to other folks and, you know, talking to people. And what I really found was that I liked hanging out with a lot of them. So I thought we had an opportunity between when Fall of Plaguestone, we finished our recordings and our sessions for Fall of Plaguestone, which is the module, the beginner's module, if you will, nothing beginner about it. Do a homebrew or literally anything else. You know, the players will get their butts handed to them. But when we were finished with that, we originally intended on launching into Age of Ashes, because at the time when second edition launched, it was the only adventure path we knew about going into it. Well, by the time we finished Fall of Plaguestone, we discovered that not only were there a lot of other Age of Ashes podcasts out there already by the time we were getting started, but they had just released or just announced the release of the Extinction Curse podcast. And when we read the blurb about it, where, you know, the players are, you know, performers in a circus who go on to then save the Starstone Isles, is kind of the blurb behind the whole adventure. We said, yeah, that one's for us. We're a bunch of clowns. It's perfect. So what we did is we needed to fill a void. So originally I was like, all right, let's do some crazy stuff. Everybody roll up 15th level characters and let's just, you know, fight a one shot that I'm making for funsies, right? We did like maybe 2 sessions with it. It was nice and easy. We got to toy around with high level Pathfinder second edition play, which was tons of fun. And then I decided I'm just going to put it out there and see if anybody would take the bait. And at the time, my first responses to this were Heath and Emily from Southern Tomfoolery. So I had them on. We did a level one, one shot. We sat down, we kind of gave them crash course on second edition. We call this table, or we call this segment All on the Table. And it's myself GMing, and I have a rules lawyer on hand. So I get to focus on keeping the combat flowing. and my rules lawyer gets a chance to make sure that everybody's running their character sheets well and correctly and efficiently, and also checking me to make sure I'm, you know, staying in with the rules as well. And we just kind of bore a show out of that. Now, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus from it for a handful of reasons. Obviously, 2020 has been nothing what anybody expected. I wanted to make it a monthly segment. But of course, we had to, for personal reasons, had put things to the chopping block. And that was one of the things that went up. But we're getting back into it. I'm actually doing a recording for one this weekend with some friends over at Hideous Laughter. That might be out by the time this hits. Who knows? But that's going to be a grand old time. And I look forward to doing them even more in the future.
We began to discuss knowledge of rule sets, how Rolemongers uses rules lawyers as sort of a third person to represent the audience's questions and knowledge.
There's systems that don't require it. Fifth edition does not require a rules lawyer on hand. Now, most of the time when we're like the guy who falls into our rules lawyer role, his name's Swanee. We call him at the table. He plays, I would say, probably the protagonist in our Extinction Curse game. But he's our rules lawyer. He has an accountant's brain, and he somehow I don't think he actually has a photographic memory, but he'll pull page numbers out like no one's business and be like, just look at page 403. It's right there. And it's nice to have, because we specifically are trying to be a rules oriented podcast to help people learn.
I then went on to ask Tyler if he had a favorite class or race or system, something that was his go-to amongst his private gaming.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I've got two answers to that question. First one, for me, we actually, as a group, just kind of sat down and for funsies are like, what class is everybody in real life? What race is everybody? If Galarian were real, obviously it was a drunk conversation. It was a fun one, but everybody landed on me being the rat folk alchemist. And I think part of the reason for that is we did a one shot called Broken Chains, years and years ago for first edition. And I played a rat folk alchemist named Rizzo. And I was a huge Muppets fan growing up as a kid. And I played him like Rizzo the Rat from the Muppets, just because it was a one shot and it was fun. And everybody decided that I had never been so comfortable playing a character at our table before. That must be who you really are. so that was fun. My second answer to that question is one of my players, even right now, is playing a dwarf with the family lineage that's Jebediah Hickburn, and he's played maybe half a dozen iterations of this character. He's a syrup farmer always, and he always has an animal companion, and he loves playing different versions of that character so much. He's been incorporated into our own personal lore for Galarian so thoroughly. It's become an inside joke, obviously. Everybody's game table has those kinds of things, you know?
At this point, we began to discuss homebrew versus straight off a page adventuring, altering a campaign to suit your needs versus staying true to written material.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, being that, and I think you would probably agree with this, being that we're playing pre-written adventures, mostly, I know for me at least, it's time constraints. That homebrewing takes a lot of time for it to be satisfying. It's hard to inject yourself into the game if you aren't creating your own table canon. And that's half the fun of doing it.
Wanting to make sure, of course, besides getting to know someone awesome in the community, we plugged Tyler for his social media, asked him where we can find him, merchandise, that sort of thing. So you, the listener, also have a way of tracking him down and his content.
Well, you can find us pretty much. I've got the logo up here, because when I say min-max, I can only say that's MNMAXED so often. If you couldn't tell, we're a bunch of guys who live in Minnesota in the United States. Then we, in first edition, my party is notorious. They're notorious min-maxers. But they have fun with it. I think min-maxers get a bad reputation, so we try to put a fun spin on it, right? We don't just give up RPing for this. It's part of our process. It's what we get enjoyment out of when we play the game. But yeah, MinMax, we're on Twitter. You can, I think, find us on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account, so I don't know. But we have a Discord server. There's where we do most of our listener interaction. I'm personally not much for social media for a handful of reasons. But if people want to go out of their way to find us on our Discord, we have much more meaningful interactions with our listeners there than I could over the comment section of Twitter. You know what I mean? So,
trying to hook up with Tyler for such a long time also reminded me of a common friend to all podcasters, Jason Ellis, who we all adore in the community. He puts forth a Discord server and a Twitter account that promotes other people's podcasts. He listens to all of them personally and really tries to bring the community together and promote it for you. We all love this guy. So committed is Jason to helping everyone around him. He tried to do an interview with me once from a bathroom because his house was under major renovations from water damage. And speaking to him with terrible audio in a closet, we decided to save the interview for another time.
Yeah, you know, he's in a better situation now. He's doing the Smash Finder, if you haven't heard of that. So his recording setup is much better than it was. So you might get lucky. But I gotta come back a little bit. I do the Game Master Happy Hour. It's a live Discord that we do with the four podcasts. It's like you mentioned, Hideous Laughter, MinMax, Southern Tomfoolery, and then the Dice Crisis. I have to shout out to the Dice Crisis guys, because one of the things that people have a hard time with when they start a podcast is that you've got that 9-10 episodes on a brand new podcast where you're like, okay the sound is rough right now, let me give them a chance, right? These guys come off shooting right out of the hip. They're all a bunch of either musicians or ex-sound engineers. They sound phenomenal, and they're doing a converted second darkness, converted from the 3.5 adventure path into Pathfinder first edition. So that, I got props to them for that.
We were lucky enough to actually interview Allard LaRue from the Dice Crisis, and you can check that out at Attack of Opportunity at www.rollmongers.com, our webpage. Tyler went on to talk about the epic-looking finished basement gaming space that they use, and what I saw in the background with the epic fireplace, the big open room, the giant table that he had in the middle, and all the sound set up while I was interviewing Allard.
Oh, yeah. He's got one heck of a setup now. And I actually, he and I live in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota, and we go out and get ramen together sometimes. He's an awesome guy. I love hanging out with Allard.
At this point, Tyler and I began to discuss other podcasts, the APs they tackled, and would you be so bold as to try to put up the same AP as another big hitter? For example, our Mummy's Mask versus...
Yeah, well, and that one's tough. I think it's part of the reason why. And Find the Path is really they're a big pod. We got the chance to meet them when we did our Smash Finder game with them. They were our opponents in the match, and great people. Loved working with them, but they're some pretty heavyweights in their own right. They're a family friendly pod, so that has its own niche, right? But I think for the same reason, nobody's playing Giant Slayer. Nobody's going to want to try to put up Giant Slayer when GCP is doing it in their main show.
Instead of trying to put each other out, we found the community, even running the same AP, to be very supportive of their fellow competition.
Well, you know, it's funny. And actually, one of the things that I've tried to do myself is reach out to other pods that are doing the same adventure path that I'm running. Partly because I love the Paizoverse community. They've got so many cool people. But like Waffles Maple Syrup, they're another one. They do a Twitch stream of Extinction Curse. They're actually out of the cities in Minnesota too.
I spoke briefly with Tyler about how I'd reached out to Waffles and Maple Syrup. They agreed to an interview, but getting your hands on some people is just...
Oh, they've got a packed schedule. They do a lot. They really do. Awesome people though. And it's really the one thing I'll tell listeners, if anyone's out there who's listening, even though you've got two different pods running the same adventure path, you're going to get different story beats out of those pods, without a doubt. Like, I can tell you, we're ending book two in Extinction Curse, and we've got a distinctly different beat than the other Extinction Curse pods. You always get something new, right?
At this point, Tyler and I begin to discuss podcasting as a skill or as a love? Do you do it for love? Do you do it, you know, are you aware of how you play in front of camera or on mic as opposed to playing at home? Then there's coming up with an enjoyable angle, something that makes your podcast, even though it might be running the same story as several others, like Rise of Runelords, for example, making it unique, and the sound quality aspect, the difficulties there.
Yeah, everybody's looking for something a little bit different, but it's very rare that I've seen a lot of listener conversations where they're like, you know, I'll give them a couple of episodes and see if they improve. I think the biggest thing that they're looking for, and I would say to other podcasters, you know, come join us. It's an awesome hobby and it's an awesome thing to do to create content and have people give you direct feedback about it. It also makes your table a little better because, you know, there's that fly in the wall that's always listening, right? But improve, just aim on improving. And I think, your people out there are very forgiving. We're the podcasting universe is the segment of the internet that isn't going to tear you apart just because they get joy out of tearing you apart.
We spoke for a bit about, what the bar is set at recently. There's so many people that are so excited to do this, and there's nothing wrong with amateurs on Twitch and putting up content. They just grab a headset and go, and you can hear.
Well, and anybody who would go back and listen to that track for the, like the same reason we didn't do that, because it sounded too echoey. It's too much. I mean, have some respect for, you know, your craft to an extent, and try to improve, you know.
I asked Tyler about his microphone, some of the equipment he uses, the technical aspect of his personal podcast versus what somebody else might do.
Right, I've got an AT2020 is what I run off of. Yeah, an AT2020 and a Scarlett Focusrite, a Scarlett Solo. Well, and everybody's voice is a different quality. You can't say that one microphone is the best for all voices. That's just not true.
Again, we dial back the questioning to chemistry. To, you know, being aware of the camera and the microphone versus what a game might sound like if the stuff wasn't present in the room.
You know, I've got a couple of ways that I do this. And one of the things that I always want to, and I say this for our pod as well, but even me as a game master, when we come to the table, we bring you what we've done at our table every year for years, you know, 7-8 years now. We just decided to flip on the recording switch. And yeah, you can hear that we're cognizant that somebody's listening occasionally, but for the most part, we're just doing what we've always done. When I'm at the table, I'm the game master. I'm an adversarial GM, which means I'm inherently kind of an a-hole to my players. And they rib me. I rib them back. I don't think I'm an asshole in real life, right? But I will say that you know, when you're getting me in my GM seat, you're already getting a modified me, right? I think one of the things that is nice about being in, you know, any sort of public face is that I get to, if I keep it separate, get to step away and recharge without feeling like I'm abandoning a portion of me, right?
We spoke briefly about the younger generation. Tyler and myself are Generation Xers, and the new generation, the next two generations that have this technical public content verse around them that they just can't help dialing into or being a part of themselves because of social media and all of their own peers, their own age generation, are just putting themselves out there.
Yeah. Lucky we didn't go through puberty on the internet. Oh, God. I feel so bad for some of these kids who are putting stuff up that they can't ever really take down. Someone has it somewhere.
I then began to press Tyler more about his own brand, his merchandise. And it always happily surprised me whenever I interview someone that the merchandising aspect is such a novelty to them. No one is used to being so commercialized.
Much. Yeah, you can go and get this on a shirt. You can get this on a mug. I'm a big fan of this. I ordered this as a sample when we put it up. And yeah, got to have the mug, right? But if you just go to minmax.com, we do have a merchandise shop there. We've got t-shirts. I don't have one on. I should have worn one tonight, but we got t-shirts, we got sweatshirts, we got hats, beanies to keep your head warm in Minnesota if you're a local listener. But we're actually finding that we've got a lot of people all over the place that listen. So we're like, maybe we should maybe not dive in full head on to the Minnesota bit, but nah, that's us. We're just going to keep doing it. Well, and you know, to be honest with you, for me, I was in a band in college. I was a vocalist for a rock band in college, and we had t-shirts. And one of the most satisfying things as a creator is to see somebody else on the street randomly wearing your merchandise. I haven't had that with MinMax yet. So I'm looking forward to getting back to the con scene, right? But it's a great feeling to know that somebody cares enough to support you like that.
At this point, I couldn't help hoisting my own Dicewise Entertainment mug.
There you go.
And besides one other t-shirt for the We Shot First podcast, our Star Wars Saga Edition pod, our merchandise is mostly purchased by myself and shared with cast members.
Right, right. Now it's on YouTube, too. You can't take that back.
I spoke about this show being a small way that I could give back to the community by interviewing people and then showing everyone else's stuff.
There's absolutely a joy in supporting a community like this. And when it comes down to, you know, I don't find myself having an absolute infinite time to interact with people. But the time that I have had to interact with not only my fellow podcasters in the Paizoverse and my listeners and other listeners of other shows, everybody's so kind-hearted, and I just can't get over that. It's such a supportive place.
Eventually, things come down to the why. Why do you do this? Why do you think other people do this? What's in it for you?
I would say it depends on what you want to get out of it. You know, I mean, everybody wants something different out of being a content creator. And I'm not going to say one person's thing is any more or any less than another person's thing, but know what you want and, you know, go for it.
Again, we dialed things back to a technical aspect. This time, the recording aspect of recording people around a table, different microphones, what software you use, as opposed to something like recording over Zoom or where like no one is in the same room and everyone is coming over the internet itself.
I would say there's a handful of things that you can do. Audacity is fine. There's nothing wrong with using Audacity as a DAW, a digital audio workstation. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I think a lot of it comes down to, are your levels uniform throughout your players? And are you putting it through the mastering process? Personally, I think MP3s are fine. If you master a track or, you know, that your audio final before converting it or rendering the whole thing into the MP3 that you're going to upload, mastering actually does a lot for that. So don't overlook the mastering process.
I pressed him a little bit on his personal process. There was something we used to use called Zencaster, where even online and not in the same room, you could use people separately.
Like in individual tracks? Yeah. Well, and I'm not the editor. Luckily for me, that's David. He's our sound guy. He does amazing work. But I think one thing that he's always expressed to me is that, you know, you don't need to put the best microphone in front of you if you're using the workstation correctly, right? By normalizing your tracks and mastering after the fact and the compressions that are required for people that are too loud or what have you, you can still get something that sounds good without dumping a ton of money into equipment, but it takes more time to get those things right. And that's okay. You kind of mentioned there's tons of people who have, you know, tutorials on OBS or Audacity or whatever. They're are resources out there, use them, right? Yeah.
And this will take time and practice and, you know, deciding on how much you want to invest in the quality versus just throwing money and doing something, you know, automatic. But even high-end programs have a learning curve.
Yeah. And that's not to say that like we've got it perfect either, because these headphones that we do our editing process on are studio headphones. You know, they're specifically designed to give us what we want, unless you're, you know, spending hundreds of dollars on full-fledged monitors that you're editing with. That's, you know, higher end, if you will, more of an investment.
We spoke about how after all is said and done, something in your earbuds off an MP3 off SoundCloud can sound quite different than in your car speakers, and having the equipment or trying to figure out a way to make your podcast sound balanced no matter how or what people are using to listen to it.
Yeah, I gotta clarify. I mean studio speaker monitors, not computer monitors. Sorry. No, that's okay. A good studio monitor will cost you a lot of times in the range of $500-$600. If you want to be able to compress something that, like you mentioned, listening in the car and the headphones are totally different. That sort of perfection is something that you look to the future to hopefully be able to achieve. But the problem is that a lot of times that perfection requires hundreds of hours of practice, but also good equipment, and it's a process.
So then we started talking about what Tyler's got going on right now with his different shows and what's on the horizon possibly in the future, if he dare share that with us.
We're working on a handful of things right now. We're playing through Paizo's second edition Adventure Path Extinction Curse, kind of mentioned earlier, is where, you know, playing a bunch of circus folk going to save the world. It's wacky. It's fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but then there are some episodes where we turn around and really, really, dig in deep on some deep emotions, and we have fun with that. Recently we've met a patron goal, which means that, we began releasing, Starfinder homebrew that, David, I've been mentioning my sound guy, is, GMing. So that one we're right now releasing twice a month. And I'm also doing All on the Table episodes with patrons and some other fellow podcasters in the community. And there's always something new. Actually, coming up really soon, we're going to be interviewing the a writer for book two, Jenny Jarboski. I believe I'm saying that correctly. I might be butchering her last name. Sorry, Jenny. But yeah, we've always got something new, and we don't like to separate it. We have everything on one feed. If you don't like it, skip it. That's fine. There's plenty of people there who do. But I think that we've got this big breadth of things. And if we meet some of our upcoming patrons' goals, we'll be able to start a second show. So that would be nice. There's some fun APs coming up, and we've already got our eyes dead set on one of them. And hopefully we meet the goal before that one comes out so we can prep for it. But we'll see what happens. We might end up just doing, might just end up playing what we want to play because that's the people who we are.
I mentioned if you can't have fun doing what you do, like, what's the point? And then I asked him about Nonat.
That's true. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying it's kind of in a weird hiatus lull right now, but the YouTube podcast, YouTube content creator, Nonat Ones, ran us through a chunk of The Slithering for second edition. And it was myself, David, Swanee, and Ted, the whole crew of us except for Spencer. And it was a blast. I liked doing the video. That was edited video. My guys are very strictly, they don't want a live stream, and I'm not going to make them. Then honestly, that's kind of fine. We've done a couple of live streams, but they've always been more intimate, with listeners who are in the Discord and hanging out with us. But we go really off the deep end sometimes. And we put some of those as bloopers for our patrons so they can listen to how crazy we get sometimes. But not everything we talk about is meant for air. And those moments just kind of happen. We can't stop them when they do.
We talked about perception. A live stream, you can interact directly. Your own content, you're on your own.
It's hard to know your audience when you're trying to, you know, decide how you want to communicate with your audience, right? Because while you're trying to communicate with them, they're not telling you what they want before you do it, right?
I commented on lurkers as well as people that just are listening but just don't have a big presence. though you could see them when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, well, and I've found out from there's a couple of really heavy lurkers who have made their way into our Discord, and there's some of our favorite people, but we have a lot of folks who don't have the time for video. And when they're listening either while they're working or while they're working out or while they're cleaning the house or doing something else with their eyes and their, you know, multitasking. And, a lot of times they want it to, you know, get on with it, if you will. Right. And I think that's one thing that live streaming doesn't allow for. Live streaming doesn't really allow for you to get on with it. Because like you said, those moments just happen and you don't necessarily want to cut them out, because that's what makes sitting around the table as you guys, that's what makes that fun, is sitting around the table. If other people want to sit around the table and get in on that, that's cool. That's their jam. For us, I would say we're not the people to listen to. If you want to learn how the sausage is made, maybe in the future, but right now I just don't see it, you know?
We talked about rules as written versus rule number one, which is, you know, don't let your rules get in your way.
It's funny. I like second edition for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons I like second edition so much is that it places a lot of hands or a lot of power back into the hands of the GM. There are so many passages in that game that are like, this is up to your GM. Talk to them about it. And I love it.
At the time of the interview, Cody Lewis had put up a video where they had decided, his game group had decided to drop second edition after putting up so much hype about playing. It really took the community by surprise.
I'll tell you what, it's a twofold answer. First, I don't think that second edition was for that table that he was describing. The table he was describing was not somebody who, it was not a table that was going to flourish in second edition. Because if there's one thing that second edition rewards you for doing, is knowing more about the actions available to you as a player. If you feel like you're getting into the same rotation in order to be successful, you need to mix it up. Whether it's the players choosing a different action to use, there are plenty of actions that give debuffing and buffing benefits that are not tied to class or anything at all. So it's one of those things where if you feel like they're stuck in a rotation, this is probably not the system for you, for them, right? My second answer to that is, sorry, man, have fun playing D&D 5th edition. We'll either see you in a couple of years when you want some of the crunch back, or we won't. We'll be getting along fine without you. Not every table is the same, and not every game is made for every table.
Now, the term min-maxer is used to describe a certain type of gamer that is willing to sacrifice skills or abilities that they don't think is relevant to the character class they're playing to boost others. And there really is a stretch, a gap between those two attributes or six attributes for the character to achieve what the player really wants.
And I actually appreciate it. And as to just defend the term min-maxing in general, because it gets such a bad rap all over the place, especially in the 5th edition community. Don't get down on how I enjoy the game, man. That's just what we do. That's what we enjoy doing. And if you don't like it, don't do it at your table. But don't tell me it's wrong either. I mean, it's either everybody or it's not everybody. The game is designed to open doors for everybody, but you don't have to walk through that door as a table, right?
We talked about maybe why it was such a big deal that such an influencer like Mr. Lewis, why it just suddenly blew up, where so many people just throw in their hat or poo-poo something or cheer on something or hype something, and it just gets lost in the wash. It has its 5 minutes of hype, or its 5 minutes of troll, or its 5 minutes of punish them, this is wrong, and everyone jumps on that wagon. But what about like what the people want?
There's plenty of them out there, man, that are going to do it. I think the biggest thing is that right now people are starved for second edition content. Maybe not starved. They're looking for that variety. They're searching for that thing that they're going to, you know, park their proverbial cars in, right? Yeah. I think what it really, when it comes to that, it, they're different play styles. I have a group of guys that I affectionately call my murder hobos. And I enjoy that they are honest with themselves about how they play the game, and we play loose and fast, and they kill NPCs, and we have a good time with it, right? Because that's how they have fun, and I'm not gonna get down on that.
So to get off this rant, I spoke with Tyler about some more personal questions about himself, his job, his career, you know, personal habits, his home living, you know, that sort of thing. Give you a picture of the man behind the screen, as it were.
I am a IT professional. I work with specialized document solutions, which is a fancy way of saying I work on copiers and crap. But I do a lot of, I'm a networking specialist. So I do, my 9 to 5 is I sit at a desk and take problem calls, and go out on to small and medium-sized businesses to install copier systems.
So wrapping up the interview at this point, I had wanted to thank Tyler, and I apologize to the MinMax community, as well as Tyler himself, that if I did not read his answers properly and insert what I thought the questions are asked, I am terribly sorry. Sure. And invited him to do a cameo with us sometime.
Sure.
Anytime that he was free. And we will see you next time on Attack of Opportunity.
Have a good night.